Hilary Bell, you've written a lot of plays, a wonderful, great Australian playwright. You've adapted one of Shakespeare's classics, A Comedy of Errors, and you're currently involved in the rehearsals with that now. Tell us a bit about what you've done with A Comedy of Errors.
Okay, well, it's a version, it's an adaptation made specially for kids. So it's aimed at kind of upper primary age kids, but it's also very much for the adults that are going to bring them along as well. So we have five fabulous actors who are very kind of experienced clowns as well as classic actors. And what I've done is I've taken the script, I've kept chunks of the original text because the aim of this show is to get kids excited about Shakespeare. So I wanted to create a show that had language and characters that were very familiar to them and easily accessible, but also had certainly the story and the relationships and some of the language from the original play. And I've also added songs. And because we've only got a cast of five, I've had to do a lot of winnowing down of some of the characters in the original. So, for example, I've got one character now who performs the function of four or five from the original play. And I've also got, there are two sets of twins in Comedy of Errors. So I have one actor playing his own set of twins and another actor playing his own set of twins.
Ah, right.
The magic of theatre.
It's wonderful with any theatre having this complications with twins because the audience is in on it, isn't it? You know, they know.
Right. Exactly.
It's only the other characters in the play that don't know, which I think is just gorgeous.
Well, one of the other things too with this commission that National Theatre of Parramatta has given me is I thought it was not just a great opportunity for kids to get excited about Shakespeare, but a lot of these kids will have never been to the theatre before. So it's also a chance to get them excited about what the theatre can do. And, you know, there are such simple but effective magical tricks that you use in the theatre all the time, like make-believing that you're in another country and that this woman is actually somebody's dad and that these two guys are four guys when they're in their own twins. So all those simple tricks like doubling and trap doors and yeah, that sort of make-believe is something that is not that far away, really, from what kids do when they're playing themselves. And there's no point trying to compete with the sort of pyrotechnical CGI that they're getting on their screens all the time. So it's also an introduction to, the magic of theatre.
Yeah, and all the delightful silliness that comes from that.
Exactly. Yeah, and there's a lot of audience participation and improvising and ad-libbing as well. So the show will be different at the performance.
So it's all the things that make theatre great, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope so.
A Comedy of Errors, why did you choose that one? Is it because of the opportunities you saw in that for making it more accessible to kids?
I guess, well, partly it's the shortest of Shakespeare's plays, and it's also the funniest, I think. And if the idea is to get kids excited about Shakespeare, funny is a really great place to start. And, when I found out I only had five actors to work with, I thought, well, okay, if I have something with twins, then I can already save a couple of people. So for all those reasons, and it's also I saw the play when I was quite young with my mother, Yannette, and my father directed it at Nimrod Theatre in, I think it was 1979. So I still remember that so clearly, and it was such a joyful, playful production. Many, many, many years later, I'm finally getting my hands on it and having a play with it myself.
Yeah, oh, look, and you have a wonderful heritage there too, don't you? So, you've got a lot to work with. On a darker note, perhaps I do recall we did your play Wolf Lullaby at a small theatre group many years ago. It must have been fairly early on. Which was like the opposite of all this, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was very introspective and dark and. but again about a child. So, so are you constantly thinking what it is that children look for and what worries them and that sort of thing in your writing?
No, not consciously. I mean, that's actually a really good segue into the other play that I'm working on, which...
Good. Well, I'll take that then.
On the same day as Comedy of Errors. They both open on September the 11th. But yes, and speaking also of my family, my sister Lucy is in this other play. It's called Splinter, and it's on at Griffin Theatre. And it's the absolute polar opposite of what we're doing in Parramatta. So it's a two-hander. It's a kind of a very dark psychological thriller. It doesn't have any singing or dancing. But it's sort of, it's kind of a dark fairy tale, kind of a gothic ghost story, if you like. So it's in this very intimate space, which is the Stable Theatre, and two actors just take you on this scary thriller journey.
Sounds like something where I'll stop breathing and forget that I haven't breathed for a while and take a huge gasp.
But it also features a family. So it's about two parents whose child has disappeared before the play begins, and the first scene is the return of this child. So it opens on a very elated note, the best thing, the most impossible, almost miracle has happened to this couple. And normally the story would end.
Well, exactly. What an interesting idea. You're starting there with the joy of the finding. And do you go backwards or do you...
Right. It's actually, I think that's where the nightmare begins, really. So she's back. They've been looking for 9 months. One of them has kind of accepted the fact that they'll never see her again. The other has not given up. And she miraculously comes back with no explanation. And the other thing is she isn't speaking. She is only 5 years old, but she isn't speaking, so they can't find out where she's been or what happened or who brought her back.
So it's all the worry of what was the trauma and what then comes into your mind when you're thinking about that. Oh, dear.
That's right. And they both go, well, look, who cares? We've got a bat. What else could matter? But little by little, that just isn't enough anymore. There's too much unknown, and the mystery of it becomes unbearable for one of them. So it's really kind of a relationship under the microscope as well. And the title refers to, I was sort of inspired by the story of the Snow Queen, where a splinter of glass enters the heart and the eye of this boy, and everything that was once beautiful to him becomes distorted by this glass splinter. But it also is what happens to the marriage is under this unbearable pressure, it starts to splinter as well.
Oh, gosh, you know how to push these painful points, don't you? Oh, dear.
Well, you can always come and see Comedy of Errors as an antidote.
As an antidote after you've seen it. So see this one first, then go and see Comedy of Errors. You could do a lot worse in theatre than seeing both of these, I'm quite sure. But it's funny with kids of that age too. I know from speaking to psychologists and so forth that if they have, that this is a thing that they can't talk, they are overloaded, and it does happen. And it is, I'm gathering that you're getting from out of these characters, the actors that are portraying them, you're getting the pain and the feeling that a parent has for their child when they can't fix something, particularly at that young age.
That's right. And I mean, when you don't, it's sort of like what a great thriller does when there are huge gaps in the information, your mind fills in the blanks. So that's hopefully what happens to the audience, but it's certainly what happens to one of the characters is the mystery of it. What he conjures in his mind is what might have happened to her is probably far worse than what really did happen to her. But with the absence of knowledge or information or any spoken words from her, he can't help but continually imagine the worst. And in fact, originally, this play was done 7 years ago by the Sydney Theatre Company, and we had a puppet playing the child. And so that was actually where the idea came from, was I thought, well, you know, how am I going to make this puppet child work? Well, what if she can't speak? Actually, that would be really great for the character and for the story. So it was sort of putting the cart before the horse in a way, but it worked really well.
Yeah, but this time you haven't got a puppet. And
no.
So what's the difference this time? Why?
Well, I'm not going to tell you, right?
Oh.
I'm going to keep it a little bit mysterious.
Ooh, okay.
Because there's a big spoiler, and I don't want to give that away.
Oh, certainly not. No, we won't do that.
All I can say is ring Griffin, book a ticket, and you'll find out.
That's right. and of course, Griffin, as you said, it's a wonderfully intimate space, and I can, and you're on, you know, it's sort of almost in the round. It's sort of a semi.
Yeah.
So you're all around, and you feel very close to the action and the actors, don't you?
That's right. And there's something about this play too that's very claustrophobic. So
it's perfect.
Yeah, they take the child down the coast. They have a beach house down the south coast. They just want to get away for 10 days from all the media and the attention and the police questioning, and they think that the best thing for her and for them is just to be able to be together, the three of them. But this isolation actually kind of turns quite hostile and dangerous. So we're in their little beach house with them for the whole play, and something about being able to see that bank of audience opposite you reflecting back your own reactions creates a terrific sort of tense vortex in a way.
Mm. Sounds wonderful. And how's it working? How's it working with your sister? Sisters often have a difficult relationship sometimes, or a wonderful relationship?
Well, first of all, I think Lucy Bell is one of the best actors in this country. I think she's, well, maybe in the world, actually.
I'd have to agree.
I'd say that. So even if we weren't related, I would have just been so overjoyed to have her doing the play. But we are super tight. We hang out together all the time. We lived around the corner from each other for many years, and I moved kind of recently. But there's something very interesting too, writing for somebody that you know that well, and hearing the lines come out of their mouth. And I don't know, it's really difficult to explain, but I feel that there's a connection there that may just be that we have all the same reference points from having grown up together. But I feel Lucy understands my writing on a very deep and very intuitive level. So I feel in very safe hands with not just Lucy, but the whole team. Simon Gleeson is extraordinary. Lee Lewis, who's directing, is brilliant. It's a gorgeous design. There's going to be some AV, and there's terrific sound. So all of these other elements are coming in together to sort of support the performances.
Well,
and hopefully transport the audience.
Look, I'm just transported listening to you talk about it. I think I've really got to go and see this one, and I think everybody else should too. So that's on from the 6th of September, which
that's right,
is very,
Friday.
Very soon.
Ooh, it's
very, very soon. And and the one at the National Theatre of Parramatta is the Comedy of Errors, Take Two.
That's right.
Take Two. And that's on Wednesday, on 13th. So
well,
that's on the next week, is it?
2 days of school shows on the 11th and 12th, and then it's open for the general public on the 13th and 14th. And
right.
Two shows a day each day.
So it is perfectly designed for you to go and see Splinter, and then the next week you can, you know, have a rollicking good time at the Comedy of Errors with the twins.
That's right.
And the confusions that result from that. Anyway, look, it's been just wonderful talking to you, Hilary Bell. I really appreciate your
time. Thank you, Rod. Thank you
for your work.